Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association, the men and women working in Virginia's public schools. VEA, teaching, learning, leading. Online at veanea.org.
On today's Virginia Conversations, where are the help wanted signs around Virginia? Which occupations are hot these days? And advice on how you can join the ranks of the employed. I'm May Lily Lee. Today, Governor Bob McDonnell, along with several of his cabinet secretaries and a team of Virginia economic development officials, are in California trying to bring more jobs to the Old Dominion. From there, they travel to China and Japan, promoting Virginia tourism and hoping to land new trade deals. Virginia Public Radio's Bureau Chief in Richmond, Anne Marie Morgan, spoke with the governor as he headed west.
Utah and Virginia are the two most business-friendly states in the country, according to Forbes magazine. And so I asked Governor Herbert if it wouldn't be good to team up and be able to tell people in California if they're looking to expand or looking for an East Coast base, so they want to be closer to Washington, D.C., that there's no better place to be than Virginia. And, of course, he's got other strategic advantages in Utah. So we're doing a number of joint events as well as individual events. I'm actually meeting with some of the Hollywood film producers simply because we had, you know, a great win with Steven Spielberg coming out here. I think we're having a lunch with him. Can I say that or not? I just did. All right. Well, anyway, the point is we're going to talk to people about our core strengths. And I'm taking a couple legislators out there with me as well who are some of the key people on our economic development committee. So anyway, I look forward to a great trip. It's a long, long trip, but probably will be my last major time sell Virginia, create jobs and opportunities. You know, that's been the top thing I've talked about since I've been governor. And this is a great opportunity to do it in three places.
The governor's office says previous trade missions resulted in more than $500 million in capital investments in Virginia, more than 1,300 new jobs for the state, and hundreds of millions of dollars in new crop exports. Well, where are those jobs? Here to talk about them and how to land one in Virginia, we welcome Melissa Short of the Virginia Employment Commission. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, May Lily. Thanks for this great opportunity to assist our fellow Virginians in getting hired.
I view you as the cheerleader at VEC, but why don't you tell us briefly, what is your role?
As an employer of the Virginia Employment Commission, it is my task and my opportunity to assist Virginians unemployed and those who are employed just looking for that next opportunity to land that next job. There are so many jobs, but there are also so many people looking for those jobs. And so we try to tweak what they have as their resumes, their skill sets, their knowledge, skills, and abilities to try to land them that next opportunity. Now, of course, we don't get them the job, but we try to line them or get them in line to position themselves for that next job.
Also on the line from Virginia Tech is John Provo, Director of the Office of Economic Development at the school. Good morning, John.
Good morning to you.
I want to read an excerpt from something that your school put out this past fall. It says, Virginia lost many jobs over the past couple decades as companies seeking cheaper operating costs shifted work to countries such as Mexico, China, Thailand. We just heard about McDonald's trip. But that trend may be slowing or even reversing as more industries consider moving some jobs back to America. Instead of offshoring, they're reshoring. John, tell us about this reshoring trend.
Sure, I'd be happy to. It's really important to realize that manufacturing job growth has been something that's been a really strong contributor to the country and Virginia coming out of the recession, and that's actually tied into growth in exports. Some of the forecasters that we look at are pointing to, by 2020, some 3 to 5 million jobs nationally coming out of manufacturing-led export growth and investment in manufacturing coming to the U.S. from overseas. And that's what we call those two things together. We call this this reshoring. These firms are coming back to the U.S. And, it's not necessarily about us versus China. It's actually often about, frankly, about us versus Europe. We offer quality and innovation at a great cost advantage over Europe. And the reshoring is also about firms coming from overseas and industries that had suffered offshoring in the past, and these companies in these countries are looking at the size of the U.S. market, as well as the cost advantages that you referenced, and the quality of our production. They're deciding to invest here, and that's everything from Swedish and Chinese furniture makers in Danville to a European jet engine manufacturer near Petersburg, the Japanese producers of inkjet cartridges in Newport News, and it's important.
Let's have you dovetail on that, Melissa. What are some of the sectors in Virginia, whether related to this or maybe on its own, are really hot now?
As we look at our metropolitan area here in Richmond, I talked to some businesses yesterday, and that's the other thing that we do at the commission is we do have our faces in the front of businesses to ensure that they are providing us with some job opportunities for our unemployed. But in the Virginia or the Richmond area, I'm finding banking and those kinds of financial institution kind of jobs, anything having to do with money, they're hiring a lot of people. But as I look at the corridor, I'm looking at our county unemployment rate in Virginia, and it's kind of interesting that you would say that, Mr. Provo, that because I'm showing that that bottom corridor is showing a lot of unemployment in the areas that you're saying we're bringing business back. And that is a very important piece to bring out, that we've got folks sitting in those areas who've had those skills. They're just waiting for that business to come back. But what I would say to those individuals is if you've got those skills, we've got to find another transferable business until those businesses come back. So in some of those areas, I'm seeing agriculture being very hot right now. And also, some of the manufacturing is coming back. And so there's a huge opportunity for those people who have production and manufacturing skills.
Okay, let's flesh that out a little bit more, whether it's John piping in here or Melissa. Agriculture, there's such a diminishing population of farmers as we know it. So please elaborate on how agriculture could possibly be a booming area.
Well, I see Virginia Tech is a leader in that area and assisting our young people to learn skills that are going to position them to not only be farmers, but to be business people in the farming industry.
Right. Okay.
That's huge. If you can get your degrees and your credentials for that particular segment of business, you're going to be positioned for when that business comes back. You'll be ready for that. One of the things that we do in the Virginia Employment Commission, we don't have the funds to send you to school. But as I share with our folk, we marry rich. And so we partner with agencies or businesses around the globe or around the state who provide services through the Workforce Investment Act. And they provide services to assist individuals to get credentialing, to get certifications. And, of course, we try to do this at a greatly reduced cost, or in some cases at no cost to them, so that they can get the necessary tools. I also share that if you're a carpenter and you want to go to a job site, you don't go with a hammer. You've probably got a truck with a ton of tools in the back of your truck. Therefore, a job seeker also needs a ton, as I say, of credentials or tools in their tool belt. And that means that you've got to get some current credentials. My first degree was achieved in 1979 from VCU in biology. Do I seem to be someone who's using that today? No. That's an old credential. So you've got to get current credentials.
John.
Yeah, if I could add, too, I think one of the things that we have to keep in mind even just year over year, the skills demanded in these sectors are shifting. We really need to be thinking, not about our old vision of what ag or manufacturing are. We need to not even be thinking about what our, vision of a production worker in manufacturing is, because the skills that are demanded are very different. When we look at ag sectors, there's a lot of what's called STEM skills that are demanded in folks working in agriculture now. There's so much machinery and technology entering into the production that's a big deal. And I think in manufacturing, this technical demand is getting into a lot of production occupations that don't require a four-year degree, but increasingly are asking for these STEM skills. And that's something like some of the forecasts that I've seen range around, 60% of the new and available jobs in manufacturing are going to be in this kind of what we call middle skill kind of range. You've got technology now like 3D printers, which produce these rapid computer design prototypes that allow manufacturers to do some amazing things really, really quickly, and they're becoming at a scale where even small manufacturers are getting and deploying these things, and it really, it really demands some new skill sets of folks in these areas.
Let me ask this of you, Melissa, but also John. I'd like to get your input on what are the trending majors in colleges? What should parents be encouraging their kids to get into if they're on the fence? We don't want to push anybody. But what are some really highly employable majors for college students?
The mathematics and the science areas and the not the computer programmers of my day, but you've got to have those kind of, as Mr. Provost says, those skill sets that include something that has to do with your ability to use these computers that we all are using today. Yes, I meet with individuals every day who use their cell phones, but they have no idea how to use a keyboard when they want to come in and apply for a position. That was my most surprising, I guess, one of those aha things that I found when I first began to work with the agency. You cannot apply for a job any longer with a piece of paper. You've got to sit to the computer and use it in order to apply. So as I'm looking at, I was given the job outlooks projected to 2020 yesterday, and the high jobs were management analysts. Well, obviously, that's not someone who just walks off the street. That's someone with a skill. The next one was a computer software engineer, computer software engineers with system software. That's the high growth occupations. Then you go down to the next level, registered nurses. That's one of the sciences. Licensed practical nurses. All of those nurses are at the top of that one. Then you've got the high growth opportunities with the on the job training. So you got back to your customer service, but they're going to have to use a computer as well. And then I have a ton of list of jobs that are declining, and a lot of the people I see are on this list. So they've got to move to the next level in order to be employed in these coming years, and even now.
Okay. John, do you want to add to Melissa's list?
Well, sure. And I would say from Virginia Tech's perspective, about half our students every year are in what we call these STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math. And the top majors last year this may not be a surprising list, but we're psychology, biological sciences, civil engineering, and finance at the undergraduate level.
So you're saying I need to go back and get that biology degree and do something with it?
No, well, not necessarily, because, again, you want to think about the skills. Everybody needs to be thinking about skills that, that can put them where they want to be. I was actually counting up the other day for my daughter, who's just in middle school, how many years I've actually been in formal education, and her eyes popped. But but it's we're all lifelong learners one way
yes,
or another, right?
You know what a great website is for some young folk to and their parents to use is the Virginia Wizard. It is an excellent site that will allow you to make a plan to plan for your future as a student. It's an excellent site. I know that a lot of schools use it, but it's the Virginia Wizard. If you'll Google that, it's a great site.
Great.
VAWizard.org. And, great for folks. Really, I think a lot of it's targeted for high school kids, but
yes,
there are actually some things in kind of the career search section of that that other folks kind of might find useful, too.
As well. They can find the segments of business in their area, of jobs in their area. And I think the names and the phone numbers or the names and the contact information of the businesses are out there as well.
Melissa, I'm getting a kick out of imagining you dissecting that frog. We have a call.
Actually,
from...
I brought a cat home, and my mother was quite upset.
We have a call from Mike from Virginia Beach. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. It's been a pleasure to listen to you speak. I actually have two questions. I think maybe the first one might be for John. Mark Zuckerberg just recently had an op-ed in a national newspaper. I'm sure you've heard about it, referring to the knowledge economy. And, I just was curious, in the days of the Silicon Valley emerging and that becoming obviously a large industrial machine, essentially, for the economy, how is Virginia poised to take advantage of this, quote, knowledge economy that Mark Zuckerberg speaks of? And then my second question was for Melissa. I teach at the Union Mission Shelter, the homeless shelter in Norfolk, Virginia, life skills class, and oftentimes, I help them with resume building, and I was just curious if you could just give some insight as to what should these individuals who have hit unfortunate circumstances, what should they be putting on their resume as far as contact information, things of that nature, because what they're finding is as soon as an employer or potential employer realizes that they are in a shelter, may have some transportation concerns, that it's very difficult for them to get out of their situation. And I appreciate your insights, and I'll take the question off air. Thank you.
All right, John, do you want to take the first question?
Sure. Well, I think it's Virginia is really actually well positioned in what folks for a while have called the knowledge economy, and to really deliver opportunity to citizens around the Commonwealth. I don't just say this because I'm a part of it, but we do really have a nationally well-respected higher education system, and that's our 4 and 2 year institutions. We're also really connected to the global economy, because that's the other piece that goes along with thinking about the knowledge economy. We've got an amazing asset in Dulles Airport, which actually is a critical international, not just travel link, but trade link, and that reverberates around the Commonwealth more than folks often realize. The growth of the Port of Virginia there, where Mike is in Hampton Roads, is going to be a huge deal, and I think that that those really make us a part of what we really ought to be thinking about as a global knowledge economy. I think Zuckerberg is a really interesting example, because if folks may know from the movie, he started Facebook when he was in school, and we're actually seeing a lot of really interesting activity in that area too. And I think this is something that there's a wonderful in fact just across the street from my office, there's a couple of undergraduates started a company called Heyo, which actually makes Facebook apps, and they've actually grown from two guys in space over a pizza parlor to some real honest to goodness office space, and they're on their way to hiring about 50 folks over the next year or so. And we just finished our VT KnowledgeWorks challenge, which had a couple of teams with innovative products in materials and consumer products that were just recognized. We've actually started a startup class for students across a number of different colleges here, and really trying to get folks thinking about steering their own ship somewhat as well. And that's another feature of this knowledge economy, that we're all not just employees, but we've all got opportunities to make our own mark.
Okay, and what we're going to do is take Mike's second part of his question and really expand on that a little. Don't you think, Melissa, that we need more than just 60 seconds to talk about that? Because he's really setting us up for what we really want to address in our second
half of our
program.
Perfect segue, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to say goodbye to John Provo. He is going to be carrying on with his day. He is the director of the Office of Economic Development at Virginia Tech. A pleasure to talk with you this morning, John.
Great to talk with you as well, and you all have a good morning.
You too.
Thanks.
Listening to Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio. We'll have more job hunting advice coming up with Melissa Short of the Virginia Employment Commission. Next week, our guest is a world-renowned researcher who studies how the human brain responds to advertising. That's on the next Virginia Conversations. You won't want to miss it. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Virginia Conversations with Melissa Short of the Virginia Education. Virginia, I love it. Virginia Employment Commission.
Because we've been talking about education.
We have been talking about frogs and biology. And Mike from Virginia Beach had a great question, which we really want to expand on. He's got some folks he's helping at a homeless shelter, and things like, what contact numbers and how to provide contact information and all those fun things. That's right up your bailiwick.
Yes, it is. And Mike, I first want to say thank you so much for your work with the homeless there in your area. It's such a huge population, sadly. But first, let me say, if you have any homeless veterans, or if you've worked with any veterans at all, I would love it if you would identify them immediately and send them over to us. We are mandated to provide priority of services to our veterans who've served us, and we look forward to meeting with them and moving them forward in the lines. Even when they come to our offices, we immediately identify them, and we're able to provide services specifically for them. And each office has a veterans representative. If not, there is a veterans representative in the area who could assist them. So if you would do that, that would be great. Now, for your other folk, who are equally as important, in each area, because of the Workforce Investment Act, there are workforce service locations. In your area, it's opp-inc.org, and they are going to be your go place. If you don't get to us, the Virginia Employment Commission, or if you get to us, we're going to do a referral to that organization so that they can assist your folk. And yes, there are going to be some challenges with providing contact information, but this is how we address that. Our office, our agency, we do our best to get in front of the employers and advise them. Listen, we've got some great people. There are some challenges with our folk. We build relationships with these employers so that they can expect who's coming and we can work alongside them. There are also individuals like yourself who are life coaches who should do the same. Try to get in touch with some of these employers. Build relationships with the employers in your area so that when you have someone that you want to send over to them or you want to deliver to them, they are aware of them. They know you. They know your reputation. They know you're going to give them only the greatest people, the people who have been poised for the different positions. You're going to have, I don't know how you're set up. Many times they can use your address, your agency's address, your company's address as their address of contact because they're with you probably several days during the week. But I also shared that getting a job is actually their job right now. And so they're going to have to really dig in and try to get whatever they can. This is what we've also found. Employers are hiring people who are already working. Now, that's one of those CELA things. You've got to stop and think about that. They're hiring people who are already working. How fair is that? Not necessarily, because if I can show a history of employment, so that means you're going to have to get a job in some industry, whichever one it's coming up next. And I know you made $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 the last time around, but you may not get that position this time. Let me give you my personal story. Made a lot of money. No longer working. I had to get the next job coming. And yes, I went to a local area store, large big box store, and I was stocking bananas at midnight. But that was a humbling experience. It was also one that pushed me forward to get the next job. So you've got to get a job. And that means, Mike, you're going to have to work with them to get the next thing that they're available, that's available to them to get. And it may not be the dream job that they want. But as you're able to get them that one, then you can get them and they can get the next one and the next one. So it's going to be sometimes working with some of those smaller employers who are going to have an understanding that, yeah, I understand this guy's situation. And guess what? The person who owns that business may have been homeless at some point as well. And so you've already struck a chord with them.
We have some callers on hold, and we will get to you shortly. I want to add that I read, Melissa, that there is a delineation by gender around that very scenario you just shared, mm-hmm. that men are less likely to take the next job if it doesn't fit their prior earnings.
We found that to be true, too. I didn't realize it was. I thought it was just us. No. But, yeah, we have what is called reemployment, RSEUC meetings, and these are going on all around the country. It's for individuals who are on an emergency unemployment benefits. So the RS, Reemployment Services, Emergency Unemployment Compensation meetings assist individuals who have been on unemployment for a longer period than is deemed interest. It's just a longer period. And so we want to meet with them and understand what they're doing, share with them what we have. I bring that up because many times there are men in the meetings, and when I say what I've just said, to get the next job, they are very reticent to do that. No, I'm looking for this particular type of job. But that's not always going to happen in this economy. You're probably going to be a little more challenged to get exactly what you've done. I would say put that aside. That's a goal. That's wonderful. But for right now, for today, if someone offers you an opportunity, I would say take it. It's important to be working, and it changes your whole mindset. Unemployment is not fun. Let's just say that. And I give them a four-pronged approach. It's my four R's. You have to reflect. First thing you do is, I've just lost my job. Let me reflect. What happened? Get over the grief. Get over the anger, because those things do exist. The next thing is to research yourself and the next career you want to have. You've got to think about, where am I? What skills do I have? And where do I want to go with this? What is my dream job? What do I really want to do? And so you research. Then you respond. And that's by applying, by networking, by creating all of those great resumes, those cover letters, getting all of that done. And then you react. Go out there and get that next job.
I remember a speaker talking about this, and she said, I allowed myself one day to pout. And I love that. You should be allowed to pout.
Nancy, you should be allowed to. Not extended pouting, though, but yeah.
Well, that's why it's limited to 24 hours. Nancy from Smith Mountain Lake, good morning. Hello, Nancy. Are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you very much for this program. I do appreciate it. I have two questions, I guess I would say. One is, how does someone deal with a gap in employment due to health issues? And another is, how do you deal with the general response to you're overqualified? I think overqualified means I'm a great value, and I've got very broad skills, and I'm totally flexible on salary. Happen to be a lawyer admitted in New York, but not admitted in Virginia. And
so you have a legal background, and you're having trouble finding a job in Virginia.
Well, that is correct. It seems, and I have a very broad skill set. It seems to me that most of the jobs are lower level jobs. So maybe it's just not having the right connections, because I'm relatively new to the area.
I'd like to focus on the issue of being overqualified. That fascinates me. Melissa, here is someone who clearly should be employed and isn't.
I've seen, Nancy, I think we've met, but not necessarily you, but I've met your prototype. Yes, there are individuals who are in the market who have tremendous credentials, and we wonder, why aren't they working? In your case, being new to the area, you have got to network. And I know numbers are only good as the person who gives the numbers, but I'm hearing that some 80% of the jobs never reach anybody's website. It's about networking. You've got to get out there and find out who you can find, who knows where the job is that you're looking for. If you live in a small area or an area that doesn't have the kind of job that or employment that would support what you do, you may have to consider moving to
an area. I'm totally flexible on location and salary. Frankly, this is not new to Virginia. I left New York in part for a change of lifestyle, but also because I worked in financial services for 9 years, and there are so many lawyers who are on the sidelines.
There really are. Have you considered your own business?
Yes, and I have worked with my brother, who has his own practice. This gets very personal, but, you know, I prefer to work in a large corporate environment. That is my experience, and that is what I prefer to do for various reasons, and I won't.
And that's fine. So you need to get to that large area, and I know you were in New York. I understand that. But there's got to be someplace else that you can go. Now, you've got to network. There are tons of professional networking organizations.
Virginia's got the jobs, right?
Yeah, well, we have lots of jobs, and I was reading yesterday's paper, and these employers are being very strategic as to who they hire. There are lots of jobs, but the hiring practices have slowed less than the job creation. So we're not seeing the hiring as exponential as the job creation, because employers are being very strategic as to who they hire. That also means you have to get out there and let somebody know you're there. You have got to network. There's no way around it.
I do. So overqualified equals great value in my mind. How do you convince a prospective employer of that?
You have to get in front of them. And sometimes that means you've got to, well, I don't want to say stalk them. You've got to be in front of them. Who do you know that works in the company or in the firm that you want to work? Who do you know?
I use LinkedIn. I'm going to answer that in a very broad way. I use LinkedIn. I look at the large companies in Virginia who might want somebody with my skill set. And then I use LinkedIn to say, who do I know at that company? First connection, second connection. And I do network. I go to conferences and, you know, some that are, you know, legal conferences and some that are not. And,
have you asked for an informational interview with the company?
I'm sorry?
Have you asked for an informational interview?
I have had interviews, and what I get is overqualified. I guess their fear is that if you take the job, you and something else comes along with higher salary, and this goes back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, women being more willing perhaps to take jobs at lower pay than men will. But I think the fear on the part of an employer is that if they hire you, that you will leave if a higher-paying job comes along.
We call that being a flight risk.
Yeah, that's a flight risk, and that is not necessarily the case. I mean, sometimes you're just really looking for a home, a great collegial atmosphere.
Right. Well, that really is appreciated, Nancy. I thank you for calling in. We're going to get to some of these other callers as well, and good luck with your job search.
Thank you.
Nancy's in a position that I've seen so many folk in, and it's terrible.
Can we talk about something that you said here while you were talking with Nancy? You mentioned this idea of really not getting very far when you're doing internet-based and web-based job searching. You said 80%. What is – repeat that for us.
80% of those jobs that never reach a website because it's internal, meaning – somebody's looking for to fill a particular role, and they may mention it. And somebody in the company, so I know someone who can actually do that. And the phone call is made, and an interview is had, and they're in, and it never hit the website.
Okay. So a lot of folks who are going online, introverts in particular, who are looking for jobs and sending their resumes digitally, first of all, I hear, you know, they're only getting 20% of the jobs out there. But what about when they do send their resume? Is it being read?
Depending on what it looks like, you know what, the job postings have specific information in them. If your resume does not reflect the specific information, it probably isn't, because they're filters. They're using filters to eliminate resumes before they're even sent to anyone's desk or to anyone's desktop. What you want to do is, in many cases, this is what the federal government had done for years, is they want quantitative information. So if I'm looking for a management position. I'm not going to say I managed I went about the day-to-day events of managing. I need to say how many people, how effective I was, what was the change overall in the environment of the business. Can do it with my management style, and you've got to show quantitative evidence for what you've done.
Okay,
and so now,
go ahead.
So that's going to, it sounds like it's going to increase the length of your resume, but not necessarily.
Right.
If you hit all of the key elements that's in that posting, you will be more greatly looked at. Now, that means that you've got to change every resume according to what the job you're applying
for. That's right.
That's why I say getting a job is your job.
That's right. You have to fine tune it for that particular job. That makes sense.
Yes, you do.
And address this real quickly, and we'll get to Guha's question. You mentioned the informational interview. What a great concept that I think a lot of people forget about. You don't have to be responding to a job opening. You can just show up and say, hey, I'd like to find out more about your organization.
You want to make an event, there has to be, you have to have an appointment, but
yes. Yeah, right.
But you do want to find out. I want to know before I go into that company, is this really a company I want to work for? And they love to talk about their companies. So yes, you need to make an appointment or ask for an appointment to have an informational interview.
Perfect.
To find out what this company is about. And so then you can make it, you know, your decision. And you know what? You've gotten in front of somebody. You've just networked. They're going to remember you.
There's a call from Roanoke. Guha, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning. I am from Roanoke, Virginia, and I graduated from UVA in May 2012 with a degree in chemical engineering.
Yeah, wow.
And I've been unemployed since I graduated, pretty much.
Wow.
And so I'm basically looking for my first job.
I see. And what is it that you want to do, Guha?
I want to get into the energy sector in oil and gas or things along those lines.
And are you willing to move? How about that, Melissa? I'm trained well by you.
Have you considered federal jobs? Because we have to look around and understand who is working. As I look, have you looked on the Virginia Workforce Connection site? Let me first say, are you registered with the Virginia Workforce Connection?
No, I'm unaware of what that is.
Okay. Virginia, you need to register with the Virginia Workforce Connection. It is the VEC, or the Virginia Employment Connection's workforce site. It allows you to put your information in there, your resume. Okay, I say it this way. Our middle name is employment. So think of us as your go-to place for your next opportunity.
Okay.
We have thousands upon thousands of jobs on our site. And what you want to do is put your information out there, register, put your resume, set up a virtual recruiter so that the jobs that you're looking for come back to you and you don't have to look for them. They come to you. Employers use our site to look for the next individual to hire. We're able to do a search. If let's say we have the job you're looking for and I find, you know, I'm looking for somebody to fill this position, I can send you a message and say, hey, have you checked this job out? You should
sure.
do that. Now,
okay.
also, are you interested in, because that sounds like there may be some government opportunities, you do need to have a federal application completed as well. And you can do the same thing on their site that you can do on ours, and the kinds of jobs you're looking for will come back to you, meaning you can set up a virtual recruiter with them, and it'll alert you of that kind of job, given the wording you put in your search.
Okay, yeah, definitely government agencies like the Department of Energy or like the
exactly.
NIH or those kind of agencies, I would definitely like to work for those kind of
You
things.
Certainly should investigate. You've missed a huge market by not doing that. I would suggest
okay.
that you get those done post-haste.
Okay, great. Is there anything else you can tell me?
Your resume, you should go to the local Workforce Investment Center near you. And I know UVA provides you with someone who can assist you with this as well.
Right.
Go back to your employment center there for graduate studies. I'm sure that they have someone there who can assist you with this and ensure that they're assisting you. Use them. They're in the position to assist you. Let them do what they love to do.
Yeah. So far, yeah, I've gone back to UVA for a few career fairs and also I've networked with family and friends. And,
that's good. Well, become a part of the Central Virginia Partnership for Economic Development, which is the workforce provider in your area for the Piedmont Workforce Network. They would okay. be able to assist you also.
Okay.
Great. Guha, good luck Great. With your job search.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Melissa is a font of websites, and in case you're sweating because you can't get down all of these websites, don't worry about it. We'll get all the websites that she has mentioned, along with some others, with job openings as well. All you have to do is go to www.virginiapublicradio.org. After this show, we'll be posting all of these so you can have a quick, ready reference. You're listening to Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio, and we're talking with Melissa Short of the VEC. This reminder that past editions of Virginia Conversations can be heard at virginiapublicradio.org. We'll be back with more tips on landing a job in a few moments.
Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association, supporting public discourse through sponsorship of Virginia Public Radio. Resources for parents and teachers online at veanea.org. More information about Virginia Conversations and other Virginia Public Radio programming can be found online at virginiapublicradio.org. This is Virginia Public Radio.
Welcome back. Today we're taking your calls, helping you find that perfect job, or at least a job until you find the perfect one. The Governor's Rural Jobs Council is working to help boost employment in rural areas of Virginia. The group is focusing on increasing infrastructure, nurturing entrepreneurship, and improving workforce development and education. The Rural Jobs Council met earlier this week in Danville. There, WVTF reporter Beverly Amsler spoke with Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling about the state's employment outlook.
Well, the good news is that over the last 3 years, we've made a lot of progress in getting Virginia's economy back on track. We've closed over 1,100 economic development deals in the last 4 years. We've created almost 150,000 net new jobs in Virginia over the past 4 years. We've reduced our unemployment rate from 7.2% to 5.6%. So the good news is that Virginia's economy today is doing better than almost any other state in the nation. But we continue to have challenges. There's more work that needs to be done. And I think my two pieces of advice to folks out there today who might be looking for jobs is be patient. It's still a challenging economy, and it's going to take time to find the kind of a job that you want. But secondly, be flexible. You know, understand that you may not be able to find your ideal job. You may have to take a job that is less desirable than you might want to get you through the short term. As you find that ideal job and the economy continues to improve in the long run.
Joining us is Melissa Short of the Virginia Employment Commission. In the meantime, we received an email from an employee in the Human Resources Department of the City of Charlottesville. They have plenty of opportunities. He wants to remind listeners that many local governments are now hiring a wide range of both seasonal and full-time positions. He says in Charlottesville, they're looking especially for commercial drivers and human services professionals with experience working with at-risk youth, plus jobs in the city's summer programs as senior social workers. So check out all of that on Charlottesville's city website. Also in the Charlottesville area, there are several job openings at Hospice of the Piedmont. Check them out at their website. That's Hospice of the Piedmont in Charlottesville. And I pointed out earlier that there are many, many websites we've been discussing. We will be consolidating all of those into one reference list for you. So anything job-related, you'll find it at virginiapublicradio.org. And you will be able to link that out of our Virginia Conversations program. Well, I see that we have a call from Kendra from Christiansburg, and we really appreciate your patience in waiting. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, Kendra.
Isn't Melissa great? She's like the god of jobs.
Well, what happened was my husband was actually long-term unemployed, so he went back to school to get his PhD while I supported the family. And then I became unemployed at the end of June of last year and did networking, LinkedIn, job fairs, went to Virginia Tech job fairs for students that I wasn't supposed to necessarily go to get in front of employers, worked with the one of the head recruiters at Virginia Tech to go through my resume, did everything I possibly could to really get in front of people and get a position. And it finally just dawned on me that I wasn't getting a job, that it was not going to happen. And after being unemployed for so long, I decided to start my own business and looked at different things that the area needed, the New River and the Roanoke Valleys needed, and started my own company.
I applaud you. Congratulations. That is wonderful. And that was another perfect segue, Mary Lily, don't you think?
I do. We didn't plant Kendra, but yeah, we were talking about entrepreneurship, so that's perfect, Kendra. You're going to tell us what you do?
I own a diaper service.
Wonderful.
So it's a green company, which is the you know, up-and-coming industry, and it's something that I'm really passionate about because after reading and researching about diapers, I really saw how bad the disposable diapers are for the environment and even for the children. So I started with pre-folds and just added pocket diapers, which are kind of like a cloth version of disposable diapers, and then just added last week compostable diapers. So
wow.
That's
and
really
I'm the
impressive.
Only service in it Virginia that actually offers compostable diapers.
Well, congratulations, and that's wonderful. There's all an opportunity for many people, and we go to that direction as well. Entrepreneurship, there are websites for that as well. www.bos.virginia.gov is a business one stop, and that's a state site. Also, the GATE program, Growing America Through Entrepreneurship. So there are opportunities for individuals to get assistance with starting their business from business leaders. It would be an excellent idea for those of you who are not getting employed to get your passion started, just like Kendra did, and to move forward to that next opportunity that is your own. Everybody's not going to get hired, but everybody can work.
Great. Thank you so much for your story, Kendra. That's really appreciated.
Thank you.
All right, Truman from Rustburg, what's your story?
Thurman.
Oh, Thurman.
Yes, I'm a...
We've got some dyslexia on this end, sorry.
I'm unemployed, been unemployed since June of 2010, and I have always prepared myself from a child for employment. I went in a guaranteed job in the Air Force, aircraft electric, and I went back in a critical career field because of the independence paper, supporting my mother, and integrated avionics, so I've worked at computers and troubleshooting and all these things. I graduated from Liberty University when I got out. Yes, in church ministry. I have a CDL driver's license. I work with youth. I substitute teach for the schools. My job was taken. They were found wrong for taking my job, and no back pay and no reinstatement.
How far is Rustburg from Charlottesville? They need a CDL
it's an
driver.
Hour from Charlottesville.
How far is it?
An hour drive.
Okay. Yeah. Contact Charlottesville.
I just got that information on there because I work with the handicapped schools also, and I have the CDL Class B license.
Yeah.
Yeah, call them. You're a required person.
Yes, Church Ministries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But my job was, but the thing is, how do you get over the system when there are false charges? When I do networking, FedEx told me that when I was at Concert Liver to come down, I put up a job. My help is great. I run for an hour or more, but I'm an older American, and they had another false charge on my driver's record. They had taken the first one off, and then they gave me a package to take the second one. I'm not paying an $89 package when I haven't had a job for almost two years.
Yes. Let me suggest something to you that is very important, and that's you need to speak with one of our veterans representatives. Did I hear you say that you are a veteran?
Yes, I am a veteran, Air Force veteran. Eight and a half
well, thank
years.
You for your service. Please, please.
Years, 5.5 years in Europe.
Yeah. Please visit the nearest Virginia Employment Commission and ask to speak to a veterans representative.
That's a bingo.
Gruen and the others, I talk with them all the time.
Are you speaking specifically to the veterans person?
Yeah, with the veterans and the others. And I put in for jobs. Even before they took my job, I knew they were trying to take my job. And it's just a whole system thing that I'm going through with.
Well, let's circle him back to Charlottesville.
And I'm not an abuser. Yes. I've never drank or smoked or drugs or anything. And I've done a lot for this.
Thurman, we think this might be divine intervention. This CDL opening over in Charlottesville might be just your ticket.
Okay, well, all right.
Appreciate your
so
call.
Much.
Yes,
thank you so much.
Good luck to you. Josh from Norfolk, good morning.
Good morning. I work in the nonprofit industry, and I was required to have a degree in order to get in the job that I'm in now. Unfortunately, though, it turns out that degree is costing me about $12,000 a year. And the job is just not the entry-level positions that I need in order to make more money in the industry that I'm in just aren't paying enough right now to get the amount that I'm going to need to get by. And that's just sort of the issue that I'm running into, is that a lot of these jobs are sort of part-time or something like that. I'm guessing it's at least in part because of the economy and because donations aren't as good as they used to be.
What do you do, John? Josh, I'm sorry, what do you do?
I do development, grant writing, and membership for an arts organization in Norfolk.
I see. Well, grant writing skills are excellent skills to have. In that Norfolk area, the Greater Peninsula Workforce Development Center, have you been over to speak with them?
I haven't. I graduated from Old Dominion, so I've been working with their job placement division there.
I see. Many times you have to sandwich, I say, who you speak with. You'll have to talk to more than one agency because all information is not shared through agency and agency. So there may be some things that they may know in that Peninsula Council for Workforce Development that could assist you. I would suggest you go over there, also get registered with the Virginia Workforce Connection. I'm pushing that one. You hear that? And ensure that your information is out there so that you can look for that next opportunity. And then look for items on our site that say grant writer, because that sounds like what you want to do. Is that correct?
Well, it is. Unfortunately, though, especially given the times that it is, every grant kind of needs to go through. So there are very few opportunities to become a better grant writer because every grant is so important at this point.
Right,
and unfortunately, there aren't too many like classes on grant writing and that sort of thing, at least that I've been able to find, you can learn to get better in kind of a risk-free area.
What's going to stop Josh from freelancing? Can you do your work with this nonprofit, but also hire yourself out as a consultant?
I hadn't thought of that. I wasn't sure if that's something that could actually be done.
You know, there's a website. There's always a website. There's a website, Josh, where you can.
There's a website
like,
for that.
Yeah, this is an app
you
for
got
that.
A headache? There's a website for that.
But there's a website that will allow you. It's almost as though you're doing an eBay selling. You're selling yourself, though. Also, SlideShare is another place where you can put your information so that it's a different way of doing a resume. And I think that's a great type of resume for you so that you can share that that the grant writing is what you do and you can kind of put some additional information out there. It's an online resume, but it's visual. Many times there are different groups. I don't like reading. I'm a visual person. I do like reading. I didn't mean to say that. But I'm more visual. And so sometimes that kind of a resume out there, you can also hire yourself out on the internet. I would love to show you how to get that done, and we'll put that information on our site as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Josh. We appreciate the call.
Yeah,
you have a great one. Let's talk a little bit about the Workforce Investment Act, Melissa.
The Workforce Investment Act, let's go back in time just a wee bit. Let's go back to World War II when things were, we had lots of factories that had retrofitted to fit, to make war materials. And now we've won, the war's over and we're home. And so now those factories are still out there, but they need to be retrofitted back to making productive things for the country. And there were lots of women who were working in those factories because the men were out to war. So now how do we ensure that these women continue to work and these factories are changed over? Workforce Investment Act was a part of the New Deal. And so we're still acting with the Workforce Investment Act, but it obviously has been tweaked over the years. All across the country, we are mandated to use the Workforce Investment Act through the Department of Labor. In Virginia, there are several Workforce Investment Act locations. And if you go to another website, www.vccs.edu, you can see all the many regions for workforce investment boards. And they have programs that run alongside the Virginia Employment Commission. In fact, we're partners in the effort of allowing Virginians to be reemployed and for speaking with employers who have jobs or training. And so it would be great for anyone who's looking for work anywhere in the country, in the state rather, to look at this site and find out where the closest workforce investment board is, the one-stop centers. The thought was that we would have a one-stop. People who are unemployed, we don't like it that you're running all across town to find out information, that you should be able to go to one place to get it. And that includes social services, Virginia Employment Commission, workforce investment type things, all in one place. It may not mean that they're under one roof, but you can get the information from one location. And we can do referrals to the next place so that they're expecting to see you. So that's what the Workforce Investment Act covers at this point.
Well, we will put that on our central website, virginiapublicradio.org. Say that again for our benefit.
It's www.vccs.edu, and it's / workforce services.
Sounds like a great resource. Now, let's talk about folks and their perceptions of the Virginia Employment Commission. A lot of people think, oh, well, if I go online, it's just this one thing, and that's really not going to help me with my job search. But the VEC is a great place to start your job search.
Absolutely. The Virginia Employment Commission's website has it's broken down into three specific areas: services to individuals, and that would be the job seeker. Also, services to employers, and that's individuals who are interested in employing individuals. And then there's a labor market analysis, which gives you all the information as an unemployed person or as an employed person that you should know in terms of what's happening around you. Our information on that portion of the site provides you with the job information, meaning the unemployment statistics for the area, for the nation, for the area. Other job search opportunities are there too. But by creating an account with the Virginia Workforce Connection, and the site is www.vawc.virginia, spelled out VIRGINIA.gov, you are able to register, first of all, and then you can put your resume out there, some background information. It has educational information out there. It has financial information. And let me tell you a little bit of something about the financial information. I thought I needed to make the same amount of money that I always made. Why not? I made it. I must need it. Turns out when I put all of my information out there and was able to find out exactly what do I need to make in order to meet my financial responsibilities, and then also to understand what is my bottom line in accepting that next opportunity. Isn't that interesting, May Lily, that your finances obviously can determine what next job you take, and it'll give you the bottom line. I cannot accept a job that pays me below this amount per hour.
Yeah.
It's a great site. All the jobs that we have on our site are out there as well, and you're able to post your information and look for a job according to a particular company, according to your skills and abilities, according to other criteria that you may deem necessary or important to you. It's important that you put your skills out there as well, because that's another search criteria that an employer will use if they're looking for you also.
We only have a minute, but it's a great time to pitch the job fair. Or are there more than one?
There are many job fairs going on all across the state. If you log into our site, the Virginia Employment, or the vec.virginia.gov, and look for an office near you, each of the offices, if they have job fairs in their area, they should be listed out there on that site so that you'll know where a job fair is in your area.
So in general, folks can start tapping. I wondered if you had one in particular that was, you know, the job fair to end all job fairs.
Yes, May 9th, we're having an excellent job fair here in Richmond. It's going to be at the Mount Gilead Church. And anyone interested in attending it, please come by our office or log onto our website, and you'll be able to find out more about it.
A myriad of jobs. Thank you so much, Melissa Short of the Virginia Employment Commission. And a special thank you to John Provo, the director of the Office of Economic Development at Virginia Tech, for calling in as well. Boy, these were good callers and great listeners. We're really glad that you participated today. Next Friday at 9, how the human brain responds to advertising and how ad agencies are using that research to help market their clients' message. That's next Friday on Virginia Conversations. Melissa, thank you so much. Until then, I'm May Lily Lee. Have a great week.
Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association, the men and women working in Virginia's public schools. VEA, teaching, learning, leading. Online at veanea.org. And by listeners of this Virginia Public Radio member station. Listeners can hear this program again or access other Virginia Public Radio news content at virginiapublicradio.org. This is Virginia Public Radio.